This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
Full service.
Welcome back to Full Service Radio. My name is Jack Inslee. I'm thrilled that you joined us today. It is May 28th, 2015 right now, but for you, the podcast listener, it might be 2030, might be 2017, maybe it's snowing, maybe you're on Mars. I have no idea, but I'm glad you found us. I'm glad you joined us. We are live here at Heritage Radio Network, which is located in the back of Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and we broadcast this show proudly live every Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are then subsequently archived on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes. This week's guest is incredibly special. Declan Keto, the engineer here, actually put me on to Maxo, and since he had put me on to Maxo, that's all I've really been listening to. So I'm really stoked that he's here. It is Maxo live in the flesh, and he's going to play a set for us in the studio. He is a Brooklyn-based producer who's helping popularize what I believe the kids are calling future music. I call it great music. He's definitely putting musicality and beautiful jazzy chords back into the electronic music world, which I appreciate very much. He's a PC Music affiliate, recently released an EP called Chord Slayer on NHX, a label to be launched. And we will get all into his inspirations, and we'll talk food as we always do. But in the meantime, we're going to jump right into a set, and we'll come back in about 45 minutes to chat with Maxo. So without further ado, this is Maxo on Full Service Radio. We'll be right back.
Perfect. Sensuality. So soft, like reality. But I'm feeling like I'm slipping to an undecided fate. Once it's so smooth and then more than I can take. But I ask you to fulfill my favorite fantasy. Is it fair to say I care and make you taste my favorite tear, the one I save for all these years? Not that bad.
Thank you.
full service.
Stop.
Do it.
Service. I'm a gun, that's a no-no. I'm a gun.
Sing like a bird, find love. Yeah.
Full service radio. You have been listening to the sounds of Maxo. We're giving him a round of applause here in the studio. Yes, 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 yes. You can have a seat right there, sir. This is your microphone. In case you're wondering, those lovely, lovely keyboard runs with all those precise bends were happening live in the studio. Just in case you thought he was like playing tracks, that's not what was happening.
I am playing tracks. I'm just playing over those tracks.
Playing well, though. Thank you, man.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
You earned a pizza. It's on its way.
Oh, my God.
So there's so much I want to chat about. But first, as I do every week on the show, we're going to talk food.
Excellent.
So let me just start right here. I'm going to say three words, and I want you to react. Toaster oven sandwiches.
Oh, I'm so about it. Did you read up on me?
Maybe a little bit.
I'm pretty sure I said something about that at some point recently.
Apparently, this is your specialty in the kitchen.
It is my specialty in the kitchen because I don't really know how to cook too much else very well. So I just got really good at making toaster oven sandwiches.
Give me an example.
All right. It's been a while since I made one. I'm a little overdue. Excuse me if I'm rusty, but it's nice to start with like a brioche kind of bun.
Okay.
I love turkey. I always get Sausalito turkey. That's my favorite kind. I'll get that and get some pepper jack cheese. And the rest is kind of just whatever I have around. I'll put that and cheese in a sandwich. And whatever. It could be anchovies. It could be any kind of greens, any kind of vegetables. I'm kind of open to most things. So
30 years
like experimenting.
From now, maybe there'll be a Maxo toaster oven sandwich franchise chain.
Maybe like George Foreman.
Right, exactly. all right, next food question. If you could be a vegetable, which vegetable would you be?
Oh, what a question. I'm going to have to go with ramps.
Okay.
Wild ramps.
Solid answer.
Thank you.
All right. What's in your refrigerator right now?
Well, I don't have a refrigerator. It's really my parents' refrigerator.
Solid.
But right now, there isn't a whole lot, to be honest. Well, there is a lot, but not a lot of it is mine.
Fair enough. All right, last food question, and then we're in the clear. Which video game universe seems like it would be the most delicious?
Kirby.
Okay.
I didn't even have to think about that one. Everything's named after food. I just... That's it. That's the answer.
All right, fine. Fair enough. You survived the food round. So, moving into music. Obviously, tons of jazz influence
very
in the stuff
so.
You're doing and playing. What's your earliest memory of falling in love with a particular album or artist?
Well, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I'm trying to remember what's earlier. I think one of the earliest experiences I had that really changed me was listening to Herbie Hancock's Headhunters. And that was, I think, maybe fifth or sixth grade for me. And that was pretty, like, life-changing.
Which is, like, not so far removed from what you're doing, which is crazy.
Not at all. It's,
right.
I feel like all my music has just been in an effort to possibly emulate the feelings I got listening to that record. For the first time.
Incredible. Your dad is a musician, right?
Yep.
So, like, how did he, or did he, influence your young musical brain?
Oh, he influenced it in a huge way. He played a lot of jazz fusion around the house, which is why I got into that Herbie Hancock record. It's because he's playing jazz fusion around the house, playing prog rock around the house. I eventually started learning jazz piano, and that's where I heard of Herbie Hancock for the first time, is because... Most jazz piano players early off learn Watermelon Man, Cantaloupe Island 2 classic Herbie Hancock tunes. And from that point forward, I was like super enthralled. Like, what are these cool tunes that I know how to play but I've never heard in my life?
Yeah, did you take keyboard lessons or like when, you know, did you grow up playing an instrument?
I took lessons for a few years from my dad, actually, which was nice, but it got a little hectic because obviously that... dynamic is a little complicated when you're father and son, so it's a little bit of business here and home life here, and it conflicted a little bit too much, I think. I took lessons from a few other people for maybe the next like 10 years. Like, this is from age 5 to 15. Like, 5 is when my dad started teaching me, I think. Mm-hmm. And a little bit after that I started taking private lessons, and then I stopped about the end of high school. I felt like it wasn't useful anymore. I just learned best by myself at this point. And it's just like, I didn't have the discipline to just maintain doing steady piano lessons. I'm a little bit choppy technique-wise because of that. I'm not afraid to admit, like, I use mostly my right hand. My left hand is kind of support for my right hand. And it is not, as any great piano player will tell you, it is not, like... doing its role so much. But, you know, I think it's going over well.
It's tough
right now.
It's tough for the left hand. It's a harder journey.
It is.
And then video game music happens to you, and I can totally relate. I mean, like, that was my life too. Was my life was like rapping along to the Sonic soundtracks, like making up my own pop songs.
Perfect.
But when did this happen for you? Can you pinpoint it?
It's tough to say. I didn't really have video games of my own until I was at least 10. I hung out a lot with my cousin, and he was a big gamer, so for several years I was just watching him play video games, and that was enough for me. That was an incredible experience, getting to be exposed to worlds I'd never heard or seen or anything. So that got my interest going, and then by the time I got old enough to, like, that my parents were okay with letting me play video games and own video games, I started branching out here and there. I think the first console I owned was an N64. One of the first games I owned was Kirby 64. That explains the whole Kirby thing. That's like my favorite video game soundtrack, probably. Mm. And it probably has a lot to do with the fact that it was the first video game I ever like really like owned and felt like it was a real full video game. Like I had a Game Boy for a year or something. I was playing Pokemon, and that was big and that was influential. But Kirby was like the first real video game series I got hooked on.
And then the music obviously has a huge influence on you, and you're getting way into that. And then when does that become production? Like, when did you first start making your own compositions?
At the beginning of high school, I got a Mac, and I had GarageBand on it. And I didn't know for a little while that that was, like, pre-installed on the computer. Like, I had messed around with it here and there with my friends, like, at their houses or, like, at school, maybe. And I discovered I had it one day, and I started just going crazy with it. It was like, oh, this is great. I'm at home, and I get to use this ridiculous software that I've never, like, really messed with. So I started making track after track, like, little stupid things, like, nothing crazy. And then I got into that habit for a few years, and eventually it kind of snowballed into something creative and actually proud. I'd be proud to, like, talk about and present, so to speak. For a while, it was just, like, getting sketches out, like, it was an outlet. It was a creative outlet. And then at some point when I started getting pretty good at it, it moved past that point, which is really cool.
And now it's like you've got cosigns from Diplo. Diplo. The Diplo. Dipster. Ryan Hemsworth, PC Music, put out one of your tracks. I mean, like, how did that all happen?
Well, it actually happened really quickly. Throughout college, I was just doing video game music-y stuff, kind of sticking in that world. And then, like, the year I got out, I had a chat with two, like, well-known producers now, Lindsay Lowend and my friend Bowen. They're both my friend. But I had a chat with them. They're saying, oh, like, we were doing video game stuff like you two for a while, and, like, we drew a lot of influence from you, and it was really sweet. And now we're, like, really successful. We're playing music in all these places and et cetera, et cetera. So they showed me what they were doing. I got really into it. Like, really into it. So I started making some stuff in that style, and it kind of moved forward from there. Like, the first thing I started making in that style got noticed by A.G. Cook through a friend of mine, TLC. And he's the one. And he knew me from 8-Bit Days, too. I'm realizing, like, most of my connections, like, I feel like most producers got to start in 8-Bit now. It's a huge thing. It's kind of crazy. Just, like, how many people Skrillex started in chiptune, or dabbled in chiptune, at least. Like,
I remember when that was happening, too. It was, like, Anamanaguchi was everywhere. And,
I mean, they're still around, and they're fighting the battle now of moving away from chiptune slightly, stylistically, and, like, dealing with the reaction.
That's Dylan going electric, man.
Literally.
That's wild. I mean, but for you, like, I'm not going to say overnight, but, like, a relatively short amount of time, you're getting a lot of attention. Yeah. I mean, how are you handling that?
I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'm sort of, like, I wouldn't say I'm in denial. Like, I know it's there, but it's just weird how quickly it happened. Like, the internet is ridiculous. The fact that I can just, like, the fact that 1 year ago, I guess it's later than I thought. I guess I've been in this state of musical existence for about, like, a year and a half now.
That's,
like,
crazy.
Things really started to ramp up, like, beginning of last year. And then...
Yeah, ramp up. Nice. Yeah. Ramps.
Oh, yeah. All about those ramps.
So, in a dream world, like, in your perfect dream world, where does this take you?
That's a good question. I'm not even sure how to answer that. I'm really happy with the way it's going now. If I could just keep doing what I'm doing, like playing shows and traveling, and I mean, I don't love traveling. I don't want to be on the road for, like, most months out of the year, and I'm very happy doing music for video games, music for TV shows, a few of which I've started to dabble in, which I'm thankful for. But if I can make some combination of those two, just doing what I'm doing now and, like, making ends meet, that would be fantastic.
That's something I've been kind of curious about, like, with the oversaturation of a million SoundClouds and, like, short attention spans, do you think video games and TV scores and movie scores might be a more effective way to get music to people in a lasting way?
Yeah, in a lot of ways I do agree with that. I know a lot of video game composers, and I feel like they would all say the same thing. I mean, that's just judging from my own experience playing video games. I know, like, what sticks with me the most and why I got into video games is because of how cohesive and how lasting and important video game music is to the art. And I feel like being a part of that myself would be, like, amazing. And SoundCloud is great, and I love posting songs and getting, like, lots of attention and stuff, you know, the typical stuff, but honestly, like, I think my heart is with video games on this. Like, that's still where I draw the most influence, even when I'm doing my dancey stuff. So I feel like that's where I want to end up at some point.
And who knows what those video games will look like.
Oh, man.
So before I wrap up, I'm going to ask a few tips from you. A, your harmonies are, like, out of this world. Obviously, you have a jazz background, but how do you continue to grow that harmonic vocabulary?
That's a hard question. I feel like a lot of the times I'm not growing, and that's, like, my own, like, personal hang-ups. I don't know if anybody could, like, hear that in what I'm doing. I mean, I've had people like, oh, no, it's fine. It's like, you're great. But I'm always harder on myself than anybody else is. But I don't know. I feel like I write most of my harmony in front of the keyboard, so I fall into habit a lot. So I'll, like, find myself doing the same thing, like, song to song. Like, okay, like, you know, I gotta distance myself. I'm thankful I can play more than one instrument, so sometimes I'll go and, like, mess around on guitar and see if I can figure out a different way to do something or just create something from scratch on a different medium. And that's the best tip I can give, is to distance yourself from yourself. Really silly and really vague in general, but I feel like I'm my own worst enemy in my development process, especially with harmony. So it's important that I can, like, externalize it and, like, listen to other music and kind of just solve the problem outside of my own, like, cage of ideas.
Totally makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. One production tip in Ableton that maybe you recently learned that you can share with aspiring producers.
Okay, this is a really basic one, but it's, I don't know, everyone seems to be doing okay on this, but I might as well just, like, restate it. Just bounce your mixes really quiet before you master them. Like, that's, although, you know what, now I feel silly because I had been bouncing my mixes too quiet for a while.
Really?
And I realized that I was a good 5 dB, like, below where I needed to be for most tracks. So I was like, why are my tracks still so quiet? I'm doing everything I should be. So I guess the lesson here is everything in limitation.
Yes.
In moderation, excuse me.
And I guess this one's more general. You can take it wherever you want. But advice for new producers, younger kids with, like, a bunch of tracks that get some attention and stuff. I mean, what do you wish somebody told you?
Don't say yes to everything. You gotta stay true to yourself, you know? You gotta, if you get an opportunity that doesn't sound like 100% what you're down with, but it means, like, a lot of exposure or there's some other element tugging you towards it, if you're not feeling good about it, don't do it. Don't pressure yourself to do something because you think it will get you exposure if you're not down with what's happening. Like, it's easy to make that mistake. It's easy to see numbers or see, like, exposure and be like, oh, wow, I gotta do this. This is, like, my opportunity. Like, let's say I got invited to play, like, a huge, like, well, I don't know. I'd probably say yes. A huge EDM festival.
Will you, like, headline Coachella?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say yes. But, like, you get what I'm saying,
I
think.
You. No, I definitely, like, hear you. It's very good advice.
Make sure your integrity is in shape.
Right.
Is a really good thing to remember, just working in the business.
Absolutely.
It's important to look out for yourself because you aren't always in the position where someone's going to be looking out for you.
Incredible advice. Everybody listen to that advice. And thank you for the candid interview.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. You can find this man's music a number of different ways, but I'm guessing if you Google Maxo Music, you'll get it. It's Maxo Electronic on SoundCloud. Maxo Chord Slayer on Twitter.
Chord Slayer Maxo.
Oh, Chord Slayer Maxo. Really, but, you know, Google's your friend.
Yeah, you'll find it.
you can find him. It's not hard. Before we leave, we ask that every guest give us a drop for Full Service Radio. So this is Maxo. You're listening to Full Service Radio or any variation of that you might like. So, do you want to give us that real quick?
Well, this is Maxo, and you're listening to Full Service Radio.
Beautiful. And you have one more song you're going to play. What is that, or do you want to announce it?
This is Sunset BB. It's the closer off of my EP, and it is featuring my good friend Mish.
Beautiful. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Again, find this man's music online. He is playing a show at the Knitting Factory soon, but again, you might be listening in the future, so who knows whether or not you can make it. But I'm sure whenever you're listening that he'll be up to something great, so stay with him. Thank you to Keto, Declan for engineering, and again, putting me on to Maxo. Thank you, Odetta and the Gunwash crew. Full Service Party is headed to Bonnaroo soon, 2 weeks. We have our own stage. It's wild. The Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Barn. We just confirmed a few extra artists. We got Hyderabad. We got Ducky. A little love for Hyderabad in the studio, no doubt. So we're going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, playing until all kinds of crazy hours in the night. So if you haven't bought your tickets to Bonnaroo, do it. I know Billy Joel is not that tight, but Full Service Party is. So come find us, fullserviceparty.com. Gunwash is up next, as always. I've been Jack Inslee. Subscribe on iTunes. See you guys next week. Peace.
Button in real life.